says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases. The double cure. Amen. In Jesus, we have a double cure. Amen. You know, under the Old Testament, I'm sure most of you, you probably know this, but under the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, you know, there was two animals there. One was a lamb without spot and blemish that was sacrificed. The high priest took in the blood, sprinkled it on the mercy seat. We're familiar with that. But after that, he had another duty. He came out, and there was usually a goat that was tied up there, and the high priest would come out to that goat and lay his hands on the head of that goat, and he would confess all of Israel's sins and all of her sicknesses onto that goat. Then somebody would take the goat and lead it outside the camp into the wilderness, and that goat would be left to die. All the sins of the people, all the sin, it was all on him. And you know what? Jesus is both of those things. Because he bore our sins and carried our sicknesses, and by his stripes we have the double cure. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus is good, as we used to say in the country, for whatever ails you. Isn't that right? So if you got a sin problem, he can take care of it. You got a sickness problem, he can take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to share with you tonight, and probably going to do a little series on this in January. And just to encourage you, in February and in March and in April, we've got some different people lined up here in the body with the teaching ministry, and you're going to be hearing more about that, but we're going to give them an opportunity to teach you, because you get to hear me all the time, and we want them to exercise their gift and receive from them, and it'll be a real blessing to you, so you'll hear more about that. But if you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to talk about walking by faith, because even though probably in all of this it may not be any new information, but how do you know sometimes in hearing the same information, God will give us inspiration. Isn't that right? And we get new insight. We get glimpses here and there of something new. It strikes us different. And sometimes it's just good to be reminded, isn't it? Yeah. Amen? Amen? I know if you're like me, you don't have much going on in your life, right? Oh, boy. I mean, man. you know, so sometimes in all our busyness, you know, some basic things we just need to be reminded of. So if all this is basic to you, listen for the voice within the voice. Hebrews 11:1, and what I want to talk about here tonight, I want to talk about faith's birth, faith's growth, then I want to talk about faith's trial and faith's fruit. That's what we're going to look at, Lord willing, tonight. So faith's birth, first of all, let's just look here in Hebrews 11:1, the essential scripture really that defines faith. Says in verse 1, now faith, and I'm reading out of a New American Standard here. Now faith, or NIV, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now I want to read it out of the Amplified because I really like the way it reads here. In Hebrews 11, verse 1 out of the Amplified, let me get over here to it. I really like this rendition of it. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, oh, I like that, of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I like that, don't you? And so we understand that you know, we understand that concept, but I want to talk about dividing it up, because faith, the walk of faith, is a process. You know, there are times when, you know, the light comes on and we know, you know, and faith grabs us and there we are. But walking that thing out, it is a process. And so I want us to talk about faith's birth. We want to talk about faith's growth, the trial of our faith, and then the fruit of faith. and face birth in Genesis chapter 12. Turn over there just a moment. Genesis 12. Of course, we're going to look a little bit at Abraham, not extensively, but a little bit, because the Bible calls him the father of faith. And we see more, we gain a little more insight into his walk of faith, probably than any one individual in the scriptures. And the Bible talks about him, even Paul brings it out in Romans and Galatians and different places, that he is the father of faith. And of course, we walk in the same footsteps he did. And in Genesis 12, we're talking about faith's birth. It said, the Lord had said to Abram. Now notice he said, had said. Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you, make your name great. You will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So we're talking about faith's birth. How does faith's birth come? Well, we get an indication here, and we know it's amplified. Paul brings this out in Romans 10:17. He said, now faith comes, how? By hearing, and hearing the word of God. So here we see Abraham. How did he start out on this journey of faith? It's the same way we start out on a journey of faith. We have to get a word from God. Now, I want to tell you what, a lot of Christians are living on last decade's word. That's the reason Christianity is not vital to them anymore. That's why there's not the life, there's not the energy, there's not the passion that's missing, is because, you know, it's like you ate a meal, a year ago, and you're still trying to eke out enough strength to go through it off of that meal. And it won't work that way. Faith, every journey. Listen, this year in 2009, God has a journey of faith for you. That's similar to last year, but it's going to be different. That's the whole thing that's so good about God. If you're in a rut, then I'm going to tell you what, you need to get a fresh word from God. You know, I heard somebody give this definition of a rut. I think it's pretty good. It says, all a rut is a grave with both ends knocked out of it. You know, because after a while, it's just the same old thing. You're not getting anywhere. Life's not good. You see so many Christians, they've lost their joy. They lost their enthusiasm. They're not experiencing the miracles of God in their life. Remember when you first got saved, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I mean, bless God. I mean, every day it was like an adventure. But then, you know, you grew up. You know, and you got wise. And dull. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody you know like that. Isn't that true? And then also, too, you know, how many of you know, have you found out this yet? Life throws things at you. Yeah, life happens. But, you know, life throws things at you. And see, if your faith is not fresh, if you don't have a fresh word and your faith is not vital and alive and strong, then I'm going to tell you what, it just hits you like that, and pretty soon it's easier just to give up on the struggle than it is. And, you know, but when faith is strong, bless God, you just plow right through that thing. You're like Rocky in the ring. Remember Rocky in the ring? And he starts hitting him. He said, is that all you got? Remember that? Is that all you got, devil? Is that all you got, you big wimp? Come on. But instead, a lot of us are like, stop. You know, but here's the thing. We need to have a fresh word from the Lord for 2009. Amen. You know, and of course, here at Grace, we're getting ready to, and I've talked a little bit about it. Next week, we're going to be launching 7 days of prayer and fasting. We're talking about that, and we've been talking about that. But, you know, here's the thing. Always make sure you have a fresh word from God. In Romans 10:17 over there, where Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's two important things there, insights, that I want to remind you of. The first one is when the word there is translated hearing, that's in the continuous present. In other words, some translations even will translate it this way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. In other words, continually, I'm hearing the word. And here's the thing. We need a fresh word. You know, you know, I don't want to live off of the memory of the last good meal I had. I'm looking for one today. How about you? Isn't that right? But many of us, that's what we're doing. We're living off an experience we had. Maybe we had an encounter with God. Maybe God worked a miracle. Maybe we had a word for God, from God at one time. And we thought that was sufficient. God says, no. He says, I've got something new for you. I've got something fresh for you. So we're talking about faith's birth. It comes by what? Hearing a word. This is why it's so important to start off the new year in a time of prayer and fasting. And, you know, when you do that, you're not just talking to God all the time. You're listening. You're listening. Prayer is not only speaking, it is also listening. We listen to hear a fresh word from God. And we get that manna, and we're like the prophet who ate the angel food cake. And he said he went in the strength of that for 40 days. I mean, bless God, he outrun the chariot. I mean, he was good to go. And many of us, what's lacking in our life is a fresh word from God. A fresh word from God. And I want to encourage you, if your walk with God has kind of got a little dull and you feel like you're in that rut and it's dead, you've lost the joy and the excitement and the enthusiasm, maybe you need to get a fresh word. Maybe you need a fresh assignment from God. Maybe you need the beginning of a fresh adventure like Abraham did here. Amen. Amen. There's a book written about John Lake. Anybody familiar with John Lake, who he was? Heard of John Lake? Boy, if you hadn't ever read John Lake's sermons, you ought to get them. And he's one of his books written about his sermons, his life's called Adventures in God. Boy, I like that. Woo, man, I mean, he had miracles and God did things. I tell you, make your hair stand. Little as hair as I got, make it stand up on your head. Hey, man. But you know, we were made for the supernatural. We were made to walk out this thing in faith in God. God didn't make us to walk out some religious thing that's like a ball and chain on our life and we're weighed down and, you know, we're all sad and look like, you know, God's died and we lost our best friends and everything. And then we tell people, you need what I got. So he says, faith comes by hearing, and that's in the continuous. But he says, by the word of God, that word W-R-D, it's from a Greek word called rhema. And it means a word spoken or quickened by the Holy Spirit in a specific moment in time for your life. Here, Abraham, too many Christians are living off a borrowed word. See, you remember with Abraham, there was somebody that tagged along with him called Lot. Lot was living off of a borrowed word. And nowhere in here do you ever read where Lot ever heard God say to him, go to a land I'm going to show you. He tagged along with Abraham, who had a word. Why did Lot get into so much trouble? Why did Lot have such a hard time staying faithful to God? I mean, even though he was around this man of faith, he didn't have a word for himself. And too many people are trying to live off a borrowed word. They're trying to live off a word of this television preacher or that one or this one or the other one or whatever. And don't misunderstand me. That all can help us. But I'm going to tell you what. You can't just live off a borrowed word. You've got to get a rhema word out of this book, out of the Holy Ghost, in a place of prayer for yourself, for your life, for your family, for your direction, for this year, for what God wants to do, the next assignment, the adventure that God has for you. I find that when I'm following this way, when faith is birthed within me and I'm walking with God, I'm telling you what, everywhere I go is fruitful. Everywhere I go, I touch lives. Everywhere I go, God works miracles. And when we are missing out on that, that's a good sign that we need to draw back and say, okay, God, wait a minute here. Am I living off of last year's word? Or am I living off a borrowed word? Yeah, I can quote Brother Copeland, or I can quote this one or that one or the other one. But here's the thing. Have you got a word God spoke to you? What has God spoken to you for 2009? What has He said for you, for your life, for your family? What is it that God wants to do this year in your life and through your life? That's where the excitement is. That's where the life flows. See, this written word that you've got there in your lap, the Bible, the written word is referred to as the Logos, L-O-G-O-S. That is the written word. But he said faith doesn't come just by the Logos. It comes by the Rhema, R-H-E-M-A, the Rhema. That's when something happens. There's three things involved in Rhema. The Word of God, the written word, the Holy Spirit, and you. Three things involved there. And as you're in this word, this is why he says it comes by hearing and by hearing by hearing. You're in this word. You're in this word. You're waiting on God. You're praying. You're listening to God. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks a word to you. It may be a word as you're reading here. All of a sudden, it just jumps out of you. This is it. And out of that, he gives direction for your life. Out of that, he speaks something about how he wants to use you or the things he's wanting to do in 2009. And out of that comes the ability then to move forward. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Sorry, I get excited when I talk about this. Excuse me. Of course, I get excited reading the Begats, so. I guess I'm easily excitable, huh? Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. How could he do that? How could this man, Abram, all of a sudden pick up everything, leave everything he had known, other than Lot, the tag-along? He left everything. He left family. He left his culture. He left everything. How could he do that? That's not easy to do. Take it from me. I've done it. It's not easy to do. And the only way you can do it is if you have something supernatural that motivates you called faith. And the only way you get that is if it's birthed in you by a word from God.
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you what. Now can I meddle a little bit? You know I will anyway, don't you? You know, Christians, listen, hear me. Christians, you know, they need to get a word about where they're supposed to be. We got so many what I call cruise-o-matics and church hoppers. Man, they come in here, oh, Pastor, man, this is great. Man, we love you. This is the word I know. This is where I'm supposed to be. God sent me here. And you know, a few months later, God sent them somewhere else. They didn't get a word from the Lord. Notice what it says here. It says, by faith, Abraham went out, even though he didn't know where he was going. Hello. You know, and if you look over there in verse 15, it says, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Listen, if you don't have a word from God, we're going to talk about this when we get to the part about trials. But when the pressure gets on, when the trials get on, if you don't have a word from God, you're going to go back to the last place that was comfortable. Everybody's excited about, you know, doing something fresh or pioneering and everything. But I'm telling you, when the devil comes in and circumstance comes in and starts hammering on you, bless God, let's go back where it was good. Come on. This is why you have to have a word from God. You can't be like Lot. You can't be a tag along. Because you're going to be confronted with things on this journey of faith. You're going to be faced with things. And if you don't have a knowing that you know because you know that you know that you know because you got a rhema from God, listen, it ain't going to be enough to just tag along with Pastor Nars. You can't just tag along with me. Isn't that right? I can't tag along with you. We got to have a word. Why am I here at Grace? God spoke a word to me. Why are you here at Grace? I hope it's because God spoke a word to you.
Yeah.
And when God spoke that word, it'll hold you. Yeah. It'll hold you when times are tough, because it's going to be. When the trial comes, when different things, it'll hold you.
Amen.
It's an anchor for you. But if you're a tag along, you're going to be like Lot was. Remember, Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked over here. Oh man, this looks good over here. I'm going this direction. I'm going the easy way. Remember, he looked over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, the nice, you know, two metropolises there, and it was very affluent, and the valley was green, and there was, you know, everything looked nice and comfortable.
Yeah.
Abraham, He went the other way. Why? He had a word. He had a word. And if we don't have a word, I'm going to tell you what. At some point in time, you'll go as far as you can go in your human strength. And then you'll be like Lot. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. So faith, listen. Faith is never conceived without the seed of God's rhema being germinated in our hearts. And those of you here at Grace, man, if you hadn't already got that word about being here, get it settled. Get it settled. Bless God. You know, I'm not here as long as everything runs smooth. I'm not going to do it as I'm going to obey God as long as everything runs good. Well, I got news for you. You might as well just hang it up now. Because it's coming. Hey, man, the bumps are coming. Turn over, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 1. This word, we got to get a word germinating. We're talking about faith's birth in this walking by faith. I got to hurry along here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, notice what he says here. He says, for you, speaking to believers, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. Notice that he said how they'd been born again by the living. That's the rhema, the living word. The living word. Where does faith come from? It comes from a living word. What word of God is living in you? That's where your faith is. Mm-hmm. I didn't say how much you knew. Right. Amen. How many of you found out you know a lot more up here than you're able to live out right now? Yeah. You know, raise the other leg if I could get it up. But see, what we've got to understand is we live by the living word is what produces. It's what produces. It's what begat us. It's how we were born again, by a living word. How many of you, like me, you heard the gospel more than once? You know why? First time you get it, it didn't come alive. I wasn't living. But as soon as it became rhema, oh man, the light come on. Isn't that right? When the light comes on, faith comes. That's why it says faith comes when we hear the rhema. Soon, listen, you don't have to struggle to get faith or anything. Just get the living word. Because faith comes with the living word. Amen. It always accompanies it. When the Spirit quickens, you know, the Bible talks about that same Spirit that quickened Jesus, you know, from the dead. He will quicken your mortal bodies. But you know what? He also quickens the word. And when that thing quickens, bless God, man, you're ready then. You're ready to, I mean, when you get a living word, listen, you can charge hell with a thimble full of water. I mean, bless God. Isn't that right? You know what I'm talking about? Man, that rises up on the inside of you. Bless God. I mean, you're like, it talked about Saul when the Spirit of God came and said he was changed into another man. Like, bless God. Bring it on. Instead of running and hiding in the cave. Listen, faith moves us from the seen realm of our limitations into the unseen realm where all things are possible. Amen. But here's the thing. It's not just because we can quote the scripture. You know, we went to a conference. We went to a seminar. We heard good, solid biblical teaching. That's all good. That's grist, and you need that. You got to put that in because the Holy Spirit's got to have something to work with. But that still don't mean you got it yet. You have to what? You continue in that word. And that brings us to why I talk about, faith's growth. Faith's growth. It is a journey. If you turn back to Hebrews, if you did turn away from there, Hebrews 11. We have to feed our faith. We have to feed our faith. You know, when we go on this fast, what we're doing is we are starving, as it were, the flesh. And we're going to feed our spirit. Because too many times in the church in America, we've got that out of proportion. Amen? I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just, that's true for all of us. Hey. You know, because we're in a land of abundance. And remember, we looked, those of you who were here Sunday, we looked in Ezekiel. That was an eye-opening scripture, wasn't it? Talked about how, why judgment came on Gomorrah. It wasn't just because of the sin of sodomy and all of that. That was part of it. But it also said because of abundance of food. They gave themselves to gluttony and too much food and everything. And didn't give themselves to times with God. We need seasons with God. And especially the beginning of a new year, you need that season. So we what? We put the flesh under and we feed our faith. We're going to feed. We're going to listen. We're going to believe that God's going to speak a word to us. And this is why I said, you know, to set some purposes for that, you know, for your, you know, for your spiritual walk, you know, for your family, for your finance. Set some, let God speak a word. What does he want to do in that? You know, too often we go through day after day with just kind of a general vague notion of what God wants to do. Listen, there wasn't anything vague about what God spoke to Abraham. You go back and look at that. It was not vague at all, was it? He said, you're going to go to a specific land. It's called Canaan. That means you got to leave this place. You got to leave these people. You got to go to this place. And he said, when you get there, he said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing to all nations. And see, here's the thing. If we're going to hold steady in our walk, if we're going to see fruitfulness, we've got to walk in what God has laid out for us. We all know Ephesians 2:10 says that God has created good works, that, and he has predestined us that we should what, walk in those good works. Well, how many of you know that in 2009 there must be some of those good works God wants us to walk in? Amen. You're not going to walk in all of them, are you? No. Save some for the next year. But so here's the thing. If I don't know what they are, how can I walk in them? How can I be led in them? So this is part of the reason why faith has to be birthed, but then we have to feed it and it has to grow. In Joshua 1:8, you can just write that reference down. God told Joshua. Now you think about it just a minute. Now here's Joshua. He's come out of Egypt. He spent 40 years there with the children of Israel and Moses. You know, in the desert, going around, he went through all the things. He saw all the plagues that God brought on Egypt, the judgments. He saw the miracles, the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, he saw all these things through the ministry of Moses. Now, how would you like to be Moses' successor? I mean, you talk about a difficult pastor to follow. I mean, here's a guy. Man, oh man, look at the miracles. Look at the anointing that was on him. I mean, he talked to God face to face. I mean, the glory of God was on him so much he had to cover his face. I mean, all of this stuff. And all of a sudden now, you're going to follow him. Boy, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be wanting to lobby for that job. You talk about it, as we say in the world, you know, a hard act to follow. But here he is. He's got, and not only that, he saw what all Moses went through. Lord of mercy. I mean, after I'd seen all that, I'd be, oh, Lord. You know, call Miriam. Call somebody else. Isn't that true? I'm just being real. I mean, you know, they were people like us. And I'm sure he was feeling, he was probably feeling very inadequate that he's going to follow Moses. Boy, I would have. Isn't that true? But so what did God, I mean, in all of this that's going on, you know, all this is churning on the inside of Joshua, man. He's thinking about all this stuff. What did God tell him? I mean, because you obviously, you know, God realizes he's going to need some help. Isn't that right? I mean, been me, I said, God, could you send down about a legion of angels and just let them kind of, you know, hang out with me for the duration. But here's what God said. He said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, he said, meditate in the law, in the word of God. He said, meditate in it day and night that you may make your way prosperous. I mean, here's this big task, this thing God's calling to. He said, in other words, meditate in the word. Well, listen. If that was good for Joshua in what God had for him, you know, it would be good for you and I. So how is our faith going to grow? Unless we feed it, unless we meditate on the Lord, unless we give ourselves to it, then, you know, faith can't grow. The Bible talks about us going from faith to faith. The Bible talks about little faith, great faith, much faith. So faith is by degrees, isn't it? Sure it is. It's by degrees. I mean, if you found out you can have an area where your faith is strong and another area where it's not as strong. Isn't that true? We think because it's strong in one area, bless God, I got it. No, you got it because you got a word there. So we listen to God and we meditate on it. Just like you said, Proverbs 4:20 is another one. He said, my son, do not, don't let your eyes depart from the word, but meditate in my words day and night. For they are life, medicine, health, healing to all your flesh. And he said also, he said to meditate in it because out of what? The innermost being, okay, flow the issues of life. How does God lead us? The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So if we're led by the Spirit, we're going to be led by a word from the Lord, aren't we? That comes through the agency of the Holy Spirit. So if we don't give audience, if we don't give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to quicken a word, then how can we expect our faith to be strong enough for the journey? Come on. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You know, sometimes we get it backwards, don't we? We feed our fears and starve our faith. And what we need to learn to do is turn that around. Feed your faith and starve your fears and your doubts. Because whatever you feed will strengthen. Whatever you starve will weaken. See, so a lot of times we're running around, and I believe there's a place and appropriate for it, but a lot of times we're running around, we want somebody to just cast something out of us or cast something off of us. Come on. We want a quick fix. We're the microwave generation. You know, don't tell me about getting into the Word and prayer and fasting and waiting on God and meditating and listen. That's too much trouble. Just, I'm going to go to one of these meetings and they're going to lay hands on me and I'm going to get that treatment and that's going to be it. I'm going to be good to go. Dream on. You mean to tell me you don't think God could do that? That's not a matter of whether or not God can do it. But the thing about it is, that could be the worst thing in the world for you. Because you know, what are you going to do the next time? You going to go back again? I remember I was hearing about a guy, you know, kind of like a guy I heard a story about way back in the 20s. Anybody ever heard of Amy Simple McPherson? With the start of the Four Square Church? You ever heard of the Four Square Church? She was a woman evangelist way back in the 20s, 1920s, when, you know, that wasn't the end thing, you know. She was an evangelist, couldn't even vote. But, you know, she started a great church out in Los Angeles, Angelus Temple, and, of course, it became the Four Square Church. You ever heard of Jack Hayford? He's in that denomination. But, I mean, mightily used of God. I mean, tremendous healing ministry and miracles and things. And there was a guy that had moved out to Los Angeles for his health purposes, you know, and he started going to Miss McPherson's church, and he'd heard about, you know, her healing ministry and everything. So, you know, he got in the healing line and she laid hands on him and bang, he was instantly healed. You know, so in the process of time, you know, he had to move to a different part of California and some, not the same thing, but something else happened to him. So he said, you know, and this was about like maybe 10, 12 years later. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on a train. I'm going to go back down to Miss McPherson's church. I'm going to get in the prayer line there and she's going to pray for me and I'll get my healing and I'll come back. So he does that. He goes down there, gets in the line. She lays hands on him. He don't get nothing. And he said, well, she just didn't have it. He said, I'll come back again, you know, and get in the line again because, you know, now back, I know back 10 years ago I came in the line and she laid hands on me and I got healed and she had it then, but she didn't have it today, so I'll come back. So he came back the next day, got in the line and everything, went through everything. She laid hands on him. He still didn't get it. And so he ended up having to go back to his home and everything. And he was saying, well, you know, Miss McPherson, she used to have it, but she don't have it no more. And he went through a process of several noted healing evangelists at the time, right on up the 40s and 50s, you know, that same kind of thing. Well, I Sister McPherson, she used to have it, but she don't have it no more. And I went to this one, and I thought he had it, but he don't have it. And see, that's what would happen if you get some. See, sometimes we get something from God when we're young in the Lord. God does something in our lives. He touches us that way. And we get the idea that that's how God's going to do it. That's the Christian life. And that's not the Christian life. God wants you to grow up. And the reason he didn't do that again for that man, one of the reasons is he wanted that man to grow. And, of course, in the process of time, finally, you know, almost 25 or 30 years later, he got it. Amen. He heard some teaching. He got it. He got in the Word for himself. Faith came, and he got his healing. So, starve your fears and doubts. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. You want it to grow? You got to feed it. You got to feed it. You got to feed it. Then, you know, face trial. How many know your faith's going to be tried? I know you say, oh, Pastor, tell me something good. I am telling you something good. Good for you. Isn't that right? And hey, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen whether you like to hear or not. You can stick your hand in your ears and go, la, 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 but it's still going to come. So you might as well get prepared for it. Isn't that right? I'm not listening. It's not going to happen to me. It's not going to, yeah, well, go ahead. You're going to find your head where your feet was one day, and you're not going to know what to do. 1 Peter 1:7. Notice what he says. These have come so that your faith. Well, let me back up to verse 6 so we can get the context here. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that what? Your faith. Everybody say my faith. Say it like you mean it. Okay, that's bad. Of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen? Amen. Now, there's a double meaning here when it talks about Jesus Christ revealed. Because not only is it talking about at the second coming, the literal appearing of Jesus, but Jesus Christ is revealed in glory in our life when we stand strong and our faith is refined. We stand against the test, the trials, the circumstance of life. We stand strong in that faith. We come through it. God brings us through it. We have the victory, and that brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin, used to say this. He said, great victories come out of great battles. You know, everybody wants, how many of you know everybody wants the victory? Oh, you start talking about the victory? Boy, I'm telling you, the saints get, oh, they'll shout, they'll amen, they'll get that big smile on their face. Yes, bless God, tell us about the victory, Pastor. Tell us about the victory. But here's the thing. You're going to have a battle to have a victory. Amen. Faith's trial. Abraham's faith was tried. Abraham's faith was tried. The word that God spoke to you. Know this, as soon as God speaks a word for you, faith will come. As soon as faith comes, you begin to feed it because you know this, it's going to be tried. What did Jesus say in the parable of the sower? He said, the devil, what? When the word is sown, the devil comes immediately for what reason? To steal the word. Because he doesn't want the word to bring glory and honor to Jesus through your life. Amen. So he puts the pressure on you. Hath God said. That's really what the pressures say, isn't it? That was something you ate. You didn't hear no word from God. You was hanging around them crazy Pentecostal type people and you just thought you heard something. You didn't hear nothing. Can I get a witness? Anybody? Has he just talked to me that way or has he talked to you like that too? Or something like that. Isn't that true? And so it comes at us. And you know, here's the thing. What is he doing? He wants you to let go of the word that God spoke to you. And what he's trying to do is convince you through the circumstance, through the pressure, that that word is not valid and not from God and not powerful enough to bring it to pass in your life. Can you say amen? Boy, this is good teaching, isn't it? Hebrews, it may not be new, but it's still good, isn't it? Amen. Boy, it's good like the next steak I'm going to have. I like the last one, but the next one's going to be tasty too. If you don't, or salad or whatever it is that you like. Isn't that right? Whatever it is, you know. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 11. It says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age, 99, and Sarah herself was barren, she was 90, was enabled. Everybody say enabled. If you hold fast to your faith, to the word God gives you, your faith, there come a point in your life where that faith will supernaturally enable you. Where it looked like there was death, bam, life came forth. I mean, I don't know too many people at 99 and 90 that are having kids. To become a father because what? He considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, talking about the natural. Can you imagine a 99-year-old man getting up? What he, you don't think his head didn't talk to him? You don't think the devil didn't talk to him? You don't think his body didn't talk to him? But notice, he's the father of faith. So from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Turn over to Romans chapter 4 a minute. Let's look at this a little more clearly. Paul brings out some other things over here in Romans 4. The faith trial, what does it do? Peter said it strengthens. Here's what it happens. The test and the trial comes. And one of two things will happen. Either your faith will strengthen based on how you respond to it. Yeah. Or faith will weaken based on how you respond to it. Amen. The same test and trials. You know, the Bible says, knowing this, that the same temptations, word there, temptations is tests and trials. He said the same things are happening to all your brothers and sisters throughout the world. I mean, you know, sometimes your old flesh wants to give you a pity party, throw one for you. You ever had that? Oh, God, nobody's ever had it as hard as I have. This has never happened to anybody else out there. We've been there, haven't we? And see, that's the time when you got to let that word rise back up and get back to that word and say, no, what did God say? And you can imagine Abraham getting up, you know, looking at his body. Then he's got to look at Sarah. She's 90. Well, she's looking at him. He's 99. I mean, oh, buddy. Well, I'm telling you, there was only one virgin birth that I'm aware of in the Bible. Am I getting to, I'm sorry. I don't mean to embarrass you. But hey. He didn't say the Holy Spirit was going to come on her, you know. Here in Romans 4, some of y'all, bless your heart. Verse 17. Well, back up to 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. How is the promise going to come to you? By faith. How is the promise going to come to you? By faith. How is the promises of God going to come to your life? By faith. You can't earn it. You can't tag along and get it. Lot proved that. It's by faith. So that it may be what? By grace. And may be, I like the way this reads, guaranteed. Hallelujah. Because if it was based on IQ or height or talent or skill or some other thing, somebody somewhere would be left out. But he said it's going to come by faith. So that through grace, so that it can be guaranteed to everybody. Yeah. Boy, isn't God good? He said, no, none of you deserve it, so I'm just going to give it to all of you. But it's going to come, what? By faith. To all Abram's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. That's you and I. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you, notice this is what God spoke to him, a father of many nations. Now, when did God speak that to him? Before he ever had any offspring. God says, I've made you that. This is who you are. This is your identity, Abraham, from now on. You're the father of many nations. And God was so emphatic about it that he changed his name from Abram to Abraham to remind him, because Abraham means father of a multitude. So he changed his name so that every time Abraham heard his name, it reminded him what? Father of a multitude. This is why I'm saying you have to continue in the Word. What did God tell you? And I'm telling you, when the test and the trial's on you, that you're going to focus on one or the other. If you're not focused on what God said to you, I promise you, you're going to listen to the test and the trial. Unless you know something the rest of us don't know. If you do, step forward. Because I'm ready to listen. But that's the way it's been with me. That's the way I see it with the people in the Bible. What about them? Well, I'm not on that topic, but I'll be glad to talk to you later on about it, okay? Because I'm talking on a different thing right now. But here he says, with the faith trial, notice what he says here. He says, as is it written, I made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God. Notice, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead. Boy, he needed some life in his body at 99, didn't he? And Sarah, too, at 90 to have a kid. And calls, notice here, calls things that are not as though they were. Faith at its birth and at its growth and at the trial, at those stages of faith, you know what it's doing? It is calling things which are not as though they were. In other words, at that stage of faith in your life, those three stages, you don't have the promise yet. Are you listening? You don't have the thing yet that God spoke. Are you listening to me? It's at that state that what you say, you've got a word from God, and that word is calling things which be not. Remember? So faith is what? The title deed before you see the house, the vehicle. You know, we refer to that as a title deed. Before you see the title deed, before you see the thing, you get the title deed, which is faith. And he said, he calls those things which be not as though they were. And in the test and trial period, that's what you've got to do. And people will think you're crazy. People will think you've lost your senses, and you have. Thank God. Isn't that right? Because if you walk by your senses, you won't do it. The test and the trial will overwhelm your senses. It will overwhelm your feelings. It will overwhelm your emotions. It will overwhelm your wisdom. Because you won't, just like Abraham, you won't see any way in the world in the natural. How can this happen? How could this happen? Well, it can happen because what? God calls those things which be not, and he is the one that can bring life out of death. Amen. And your trial and the test and the circumstances are all manifestations of death saying, see there, it's not happening. It's not going to happen. It's not going to come through. You really didn't get a word. You didn't hear from God. You know, that's not going to happen. All of that, what? If you listen to that, it's death. Death is speaking. Death is speaking. But what you've got to be is just like Abraham, knowing this, that even in the midst of death, God is able to bring life. Amen. Isn't that right? Isn't that what I mean, if you boil down the essence of the gospel of the scriptures, if you boil it down, according to St. Paul, it boils down to this. It's all about resurrection. He said, if there is no resurrection, then absolutely everything else about the gospel is in vain. Yeah. Isn't that what he said? He said, what? He said, just might as well eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we'll die, because that's it. You live, you die, and that's it, if there is no resurrection. And that principle is not only the resurrection of the physical body, but it's the resurrection principle of the life in the kingdom of God. And that flows to us through faith, doesn't it? Healing, the new birth, what God speaks to you about direction for your life and what He's wanting to do in your life. All of that, what? That's going to come because of what? Resurrection. Now, that may be a new thought to some of you. You may have to think on that. Selah. But it's true. It's resurrection. Because why are the promises true to us? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. Why do we have hope of heaven? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. Why do we know that God is a healer? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. Why do we know that all the promises of God's provision are for us? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. How do we know that God has good works He's ordained for us to walk and fulfill? Because Jesus was raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Because if He wasn't raised from the dead, this is all for it. We might as well go join the Rotary Club. I didn't say there was, but I said we might as well do that. I'm just saying we might as well join something natural. What are you laughing about? I'm not getting down on the Rotary Club. I mean, y'all can't say anything. Everybody's so touchy. Get over it. Lordy. Nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, though, you might as well join some other just good natural club. Whatever it is. You know, Girl Scout, whatever. You know, because it's the principle of resurrection. Listen, that's what makes Christianity different from all the other religions. Is resurrection. They all got a book. They all got some. In that book, there's some good teachings for living life. There's some good things in there. There's some degrees of wisdom in there. But the one thing they don't have is a resurrected Savior. That is the whole crux of the matter. But that is also the basis of our faith in a daily walk of faith. And so, as we're talking about faith's trial, in the midst of that, my time is up. I got to stop. I wouldn't even look at the clock. Faith's trial. You know what? We have to focus. We focus on God's word. What did God say? Just like Abraham, what did He say? What has He said to you? What has He said? I mean, you know. He said this to me. And when the test and the trial come, speaking death, it's not going to happen. It's not going to take place. You're not going to get your healing. Your family's not going to be saved. It's not going to be reunited. This thing is, your ministry is not going to grow. It's not, whatever it is. All, you know, that's when you got to know. That's death speaking. But yeah. Bless yeah. God, in the midst of that death, I got something that is resurrection in me. The faith of God, the word of God that's telling me to call those things which be not as though they were.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I didn't get time to finish that in face fruit. We'll have to get into that next time. Did you get something out of this? I did. I got into it. I got something out of it. Listen, 2009. What has God spoken to you? What does God want to speak to you? How many believe God has something specific, not just the same old? You know, if it's like at our house, you know, I have nothing against leftovers. Do you? You know, because. But here's the thing. You know, in the spirit, I believe this. God wants to do something fresh. Serve up a fresh meal in 2009. Not just leftovers, but something fresh. You know, what has God, you know, fresh breakthroughs in areas of your life, in your family, in your neighbors, in your ministry, in the giftings, whatever it is, something fresh God wants to do. Here's the thing, but you've got to have a fresh word for it.
Yeah.
What does God want to say? What adventures has God got laid up for you? What good works? What supernatural miracles?
Amen.
What things, not only in your life, but through your life for others, has God planned for you this year? We need to what? Seek God. at the beginning of this year and listen. Say, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? And let God birth something fresh. Because with that will come a fresh enthusiasm and a passion and desire and motivation. And it won't be something that some preacher whipped up or you whipped up. It'll be something that God's life in you is motivating you. Faith in you is motivating you. And when the pressure comes and the trials come, there'll be something in you that says, bless God, I don't care what death's saying. I know this because Jesus has been raised from the dead. Resurrection's greater than death. And God, who spoke life to Jesus and raised him from the dead, is speaking life in my circumstances because I have a word from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, not through. We'll just stop. Just stop. Get a word from God this year. Get alone. Listen to God. You say, yeah, but I'm retired. Don't matter. Don't retire in God. You know? Amen. You know, you're retired. I almost said you got more time, but after talking to some people who are retired, I'm not sure if that's true or not. I may just keep working. I don't think I'm going to retire. Thought some people retired. They said they're busier than they ever been. So I don't know. Praise the Lord. Well, just before we go, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Ushers to come. We can give you an opportunity if you'd like to give. We'll give you that opportunity to give. Hallelujah. Listen, I believe, you know, in the midst of, you know, the economic recession and all that stuff, you know, all that death that's coming at you. Okay? I didn't say it wasn't real, but I'm saying it's death. But here's the thing. God wants to speak something that is life to you. Life to you. And even in our finances, we need to have the life of God at work. Amen? The life of God at work. So, you know, while everybody's pumping all this death to you about your finances and your house or this or that, listen, find out what God says. Because death can say all it wants to. But resurrection, Jesus proved, is greater. Resurrection is greater. Amen.
Amen.
Paul put it this way. He said, where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. Resurrection. Listen, God's resurrection power will work on anything. It'll work on your spirit. It'll work on your body. It'll work on your checkbook. Amen. Man, I was reading, anybody heard of John Wesley? I was reading after John Wesley one time. He had a horse called Old Dan. You know, back in the 1800s, they, you know, rode a horse everywhere. Dan came up lame. Man, he needed Dan. So he got down, laid hands, and prayed for Dan. Dan was healed, went on about his way. So resurrection worked in John Wesley's horse.
There you go.
Come on. We limit God sometimes. Oh, God don't want to. Listen, he needed that horse. That thing was dedicated to God. That'd be, you know. Hallelujah. Worked on your van. There you go. Got that transmission in order, didn't it, brother? I hear you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, for the ability of your resurrection power to work in every area of our life. Lord, receive our gifts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, come and serve them, then we're going to let you go. But get a word from God. Amen. Fresh word. I know you got a word, but get a fresh one. Bless God. So that, you know, when somebody says, well, what's God want to do in your life this year, man? You got a minute? You know? And it helps you to aim your prayers. I mean, all kind of things it does there. And it helps you to choose. You know, how many found out you can't do everything? And so we end up doing a lot of good things, but we don't do the best thing. We're more like Martha than we are like Mary sometimes, aren't we? You know, Martha was doing the good thing, but Jesus said, Mary is doing the best thing. I want the best. Would you stand up, please? The best thing. About the women's? All you ladies, and anybody else, really, it's open to anybody. But the women's ministry, this Saturday at 10 o'clock, Corinna Hilton is going to be sharing about overcoming hurts and emotional damages and all that kind of stuff. You know, in your emotions and in your soulish area, hey, resurrection power works there too.
Amen.
David put it this way in Psalm 23. He restores my soul. Hallelujah. So 10 o'clock. If you know some people that would benefit from it, invite them to come. They'll have some refreshments. It'll be a good fellowship. They'll hear the word of God, and God will touch and minister to their lives. And you say, well, you know, I don't really need it. But you know what? You might come and learn something that help you to minister to somebody else. So that pretty much covers everybody, doesn't it? That's the best I can do, huh? Father, thank you for this evening, for the word. Lord, we receive it gladly. And Lord, we're going to guard this word. And we're going to nurture this word. And we're going to follow after this word. Lord, I pray, speak a rhema word concerning our lives, your direction, your purpose, your plans, and what our pursuits are for 2009. What you say, Lord, we will grab hold of. And like Abraham, we'll run with it. We'll obey. We may go out at the beginning not knowing everything, but we're going to trust you that you're faithful. You're going to direct our path. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great evening. See you Sunday.